Will you pray with me? Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your most precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, because of this gift, I owe you all, my life and all that I have. Lord, here I am, your servant. I give you all. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So I can't imagine what it was like for Jesus and his disciples. They were in Jerusalem. It was about the time for Jesus to be betrayed. Actually, before this last trip to Jerusalem, his disciples told Jesus, don't go, right? Don't go, because we know it's not going to end well. We're afraid for you. And yet Jesus hangs out at the temple, and he teaches. And one of the times that he taught them, he was watching the offering plate, all right? As Hannah was talking about, it kind of sat there, and people would come and put in their gifts. And some people were giving in, you know, large gifts, and others were giving a little. But from the gospel lesson, who did Jesus point out to? Wait, stop, look at what this gift was. Who put in that gift? The widow. Because she gave such a large gift? No, because her gift was all she had to live on. You see, God doesn't look at our gifts, our lives, by the amount that we give, but he looks at how that amount affects our life. Today, kind of on our last day, this breakthrough concept, and if you want to follow along, there's a sermon note inside of your bulletin. You can fill in these blanks. But the breakthrough concept for today is that God does not measure our generosity by the size of our gift, but the size of our sacrifice. And you know, sometimes you can give a lot out of everything that you have, but there might be some weeks where you give a smaller gift, but it's more sacrificial. We can't look or compare what we give with somebody else, because unless if we have exactly the same stuff, exactly the same income, it's different. It's the amount of sacrifice that our gift entails. And God wants us to say, God, I trust you. I have faith that you will receive this sacrifice and let it be a blessing to you and to others and to your kingdom. And today I want to talk to you about a graduate course in generosity, okay? If you think about generosity, how do you learn to be generous? And there is kind of a stepping stairway of generosity, and we actually find that in the Christmas story. That generosity is more about the amount that you, the sacrifice that one gives that God wants us to give to him. And so we start with the magi, the wise men. What did they give of Jesus? They gave their treasures, all right? Their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. They gave their money. And so when we think about the Christmas story, this account is kind of like the training wheels. God gives us money is to be our starting point in our journey of generosity. That all that we have is from God, and all that we have we give back to God. And so God uses our money as the beginning of a life of generosity, a life of serving, a life of sacrifice. And if we can be generous with our money, we can take that next step. The angels told the shepherds that Jesus was born. And so the shepherds, they had a choice. Well, what do we do with this good news? And they chose to leave their sheep out in the pasture, out in the fields. And they ran into Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Jesus, just as the angels had told them. And so these shepherds, they sacrificed their time. Imagine, if you will, if one of their sheep got lost, but they gave up of their time to go and follow God's prompting in their lives. And they were the first people to come and worship Jesus. And not only did they worship him, but do you remember what they did after they saw Jesus? They went around Bethlehem telling everyone exactly what they had heard and seen. The shepherds got to be the first evangelists. They got to share this good news that had been revealed to them, to others, that God was doing something new. God's Son, the Messiah, was born. Kind of on the next step, you give your money, you give your time. We think of Joseph in the Christmas story. Joseph was about ready when he heard that Mary was pregnant. He was about ready to divorce her quietly. But God sent an angel to Joseph, and that's kind of what this picture is, an angel to Joseph to say, don't divorce Mary, but take her as your wife, for the child she bears is from God, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but can you imagine in that day, a woman being pregnant outside of marriage was a really big deal. And for a guy to say, I'm going to stand by you, what's that going to hurt? His reputation. Can you imagine this little town of Nazareth, people saying, can you believe about Mary? Can you believe about Joseph? I can't believe it. She's pregnant. What did they do? And they're just, can you, you know, you've ever been a part of a small town. Have you ever been a part of that? They whisper and they talk. And so Joseph gave of his reputation about all the other guys. What are you doing with her? Why are you sticking with her? Joseph was willing because God asked him to give up his reputation, to say, God, all right, I don't care what other people say about me. I don't care what other people think about me, but I'm going to give up my reputation so that I can follow your word. Joseph gave up his reputation. We give up our money, our time, our reputation. When you think about Mary, Mary gave up her future. Some biblical accounts say that Mary was maybe 14, 15 years old when the angel Gabriel came to her and said that she was going to give birth to God's own son. And Mary may have had all these other dreams and all these other plans, but it all drastically changed when God says, I want you to be the mom of my son. And do you remember what Mary replied? I mean, this was a huge sacrifice. Her future, everything that she dreamed for, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And so she sacrificed. She gave of her future to say, God, again, you're doing something, and I'm going to put my future in your hands. And if you can imagine, Mary got to be with Jesus and raise him as his mom. And I don't know what other miracles there were, but Jesus must have been an interesting child to raise up, you know, because Mary knew at that wedding in Cana that when the wine ran out, what did Mary tell Jesus to do? Just turn that water into wine, all right? And so Mary had this relationship with her son even before his ministry began, to see, to know, to experience God's love in the flesh. What an amazing opportunity that Mary gained from sacrificing her future. That's not the last step. There's another step, Jesus. Jesus gave his life. Jesus considered us more than himself, and Jesus gave up his life for us on the cross. Jesus says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give up his life for many as a ransom. And so Jesus gave up all that he had. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have a home. He didn't have any possessions, because he knew he came to save us. That by his death on the cross, he has paid for our sins, that nothing can now separate us from God, that as we place our faith and hope in Jesus, as we repent of our sins, God forgives us, and he gives us life, not that we deserve, but for the sake of Jesus. God tells us, you're forgiven. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you so much. Jesus gave his life. He humbled himself because he knew that God would exalt him, that God was faithful, that God would raise him. And now Jesus sits at God's right hand until he comes again with glory. Jesus gave his life. And even our Heavenly Father, he gave his most prized possession. He gave his Son for us, for the world. You know what John 3:16 says, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so when I think of God, I think of that God who loved the world, who loved you and me so much that he gave what was most precious to him, his Son Jesus, so that we may not perish but have everlasting life. That's a God who loves, who gives, who wants us to experience his generosity so that we may take all that we have and share it with others. And I really think about, as each one of these steps, there was a certain joy, there was a certain blessing that when these people gave, there was something in return. We've been talking about a return in heaven, but I think there's a sure and certain return that when God prompts us, when God leads us into generosity, that there are always blessings. And one of the primary blessings is that we experience God in a more intimate and deeper way. If you remember a few weeks back, I said this genius of generosity, it's not about money. It's about a life living in relationship with God. That as we are generous, it brings us closer to him. Because at the heart of God is a generous God, a God who loves, a God who gives. And as we live faith-filled lives in the same way as God has given to us, we experience God in a deeper, more intimate way. That as we give our money, our time, as we give God our reputation, as we give God our future, our very life, all that we have, what we receive back from God will make everything that we give pale in comparison. God calls us to follow him into a journey of generosity. So I want to share with you three practical principles of generosity. On your handout, it's principles as in school principle, but I corrected it for the slideshow, all right? Generosity always begins with God, all right? Who is the first giver? God is. Every good and perfect gift comes from down from above, from our Father. And so whenever we say, whenever we start to get puffed up or look what I've done, we remember that everything that we have is a gift to us from God. Our second thing, our generosity is the visible expression of our love for God. That when we live generous lives, it's how other people see our faith, okay? Jesus says that when we have his commands and when we obey them, that's the person who loves Jesus. We will be loved by a Father and we'll see, we'll experience God. And so this world, God sees our faith through visible expressions of our generosity. Again, this might be with our money, but it might be with our time. It might be with our reputation, our future. All that we have is our visual expression of faith. And as I think about the world outside of these doors of this church, I think one of the greatest ways that we have an impact on others is when they see, when they experience our generosity. Our group that went to Baton Rouge just got back last night, and they talked about helping a woman with cancer. And she told them, I had no hope before you got here. I had no hope before you showed up and started working on my house. Her life was changed because 11 people decided for this week, God is calling us to go to Baton Rouge to tear down drywall, to put new drywall back up, to help, not because, just because they can, because God has loved them. And so our generosity is a visual expression to the world of God's generosity to us. And then finally, generosity grows into giving my life as a perpetual act of worship. At the heart of genius of generosity, God wants you, all that you are, all that you have, for his glory. He says this in Romans chapter 12, to in view of God's mercy, offer your lives, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship. God wants all that we are, so that our mind, our life revolves around the cross, Jesus Christ, that we remember constantly, God, you've loved me. You gave me your son. Help me to love others as you have loved me in a generous, sacrificial way. So two assignments, all right, as we wrap up today, our genius of generosity. This is a great week to do it. It's Thanksgiving week. If this isn't a tradition, pull out a piece of paper. Right at the very top, I am grateful for, and see what you could come up with. See what you can come up with. See how God has blessed you. And I think if we get to that bottom of that list, we get to the bottom and the end of the list, we say, all right, God, you have blessed me with so much, all that I have. How can I, O Lord, be a blessing to others? And that leads to our second challenge, all right? This is one that I'm gonna have fun with, all right? The 21-day generosity challenge. Every day for the next 21 days, can you do something generous? Whether it's a gift of money, a gift of time, whether it's a gift of presence, a phone call, a card, whether maybe there's somebody at work that you know is struggling, can you put a grocery card or a gas gift card in their box, or just give them a visible expression of the generosity that we have from God? Maybe if you have kids, do something that you know they love to do that you really don't like to do, all right? And give that gift of that time, of that sacrifice to be there with them. What can you do for the next 21 days? I know for me, I can't just do this at the top of my head, so I'm going to pull out a calendar, and each day I'm going to write something out to say, I want to try to do this each day. And so I want to challenge you to let this genius of generosity, not just to end today, but to go into the future, that together we give our lives to God. May we be generous, reflecting our generous God. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, you are so good. Thank you for the generosity that you poured down upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that gift of faith, of salvation, of life, and of life to come with you in heaven. Lord, it's too much for us to take in. Lord, help us to be thankful for all that we have, to incorporate a spirit of contentment and gratitude. Lord, use us to be a blessing to others, to give of our time, of our money, of our reputation, of our future, of our very life, all for your glory, that more and more people might see Jesus Christ who lives in us. We pray this in his name, and all God's people said, amen.